Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zger and Andrew Gribble here. And Dog Pound, the Cleveland Browns annual blood drive in association with Cuyahoga Community College, is coming Saturday, August 1st, to a location near you in partnership with the American Red Cross. It's your chance to donate blood at one of 12 locations across Northeast Ohio. Donors will receive a commemorative T-shirt while supplies last. Be a part of the Browns' First and 10 movement and help make your community a better place. To schedule your appointment, visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS and mention sponsor code Browns. Be a part of it. Do something good. That's what we like to see everybody do here. First and 10, big part of what the Browns are doing in Cleveland and around Northeast Ohio. Nathan Zger, Andrew Gribble back with you here in the studio in the Dog Bowl in a very quiet Berea. It's kind of the calm before the storm.
Great parking.
Great. It's fantastic parking situation. Yes, that is absolutely true. Now, we're going through the schedule game by game, and we're up to the San Diego Chargers. Game four, the Browns head on the road and take on the Chargers, who, of course, led by Philip Rivers because he is the quarterback of that team. They've been 9-7 each of the last two seasons, although the Chargers have missed the playoffs in four of the last five. Mike McCoy is the head coach. Of course, Philip Rivers, that is the franchise player. The Browns won't have to contend with Antonio Gates, who will be serving his suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. But this is still a very good team, a very dangerous team.
Yeah, you know, all we know about this team is the Philip Rivers story was just huge.
Yep.
During the offseason. And you wonder, is this going to resurface again in training camp? Or is he effectively put this to bed? And then it's a team that's also dealing with the prospect of potentially moving. I mean, that's another thing that's kind of hovered above this team. But, you know, on the field, they have just been really solid. But that's a type of performance, not making the playoffs for the last 5 years while being like a 9-7. It you worry about treading water and everything like that, and you could see the fans maybe getting frustrated with what they've done. But definitely a dangerous enough team to give anyone problems. I mean, they've shown that they can beat anyone in this league, I would think that they are an outside shot to win that division this year if the Broncos are not able to kind of recapture what they've done in the regular season.
Yeah, they would be the next team for me. And anytime you got Philip Rivers last year, threw for 4,286 yards, 31 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. Gone is Ryan Matthews. In comes Melvin Gordon to kind of put some stability back into this ground game. I think he's going to be very productive in this offense. They added Orlando Franklin in the offseason. He's going to be able to come in and be right next to King Dunlop, making a very big left side of that offensive line. Wide receivers, they've got Keenan Allen, who had a monster rookie season, came back last year, 77 catches, 783 yards, 4 touchdowns. Eddie Royal, 778 yards and 7, and Malcolm Floyd, who's just always solid, 856 yards and 6 touchdowns for him. Ladarius Green is a guy who I think can come in and fill some of the shoes of Antonio Gates while Gates is out. He's long been a fantasy sleeper, but Gates continues to hold on. Gates, 12 touchdowns last year, so Green could be a big factor in the red zone. And it's a good defense. Some names, probably the biggest name, Eric Weddle on that defense, Corey Legit on that defense. So it's a good D. Also, they have Manti Te'o, of course, middle.
He's
solid
kind of
pro.
He's doing well off the radar. I mean, I thought he was going to be a guy that we kept hearing about in the NFL. He's obviously a way better performer on the field than Tebow was, but I thought he had maybe that Tebow factor of media attention. Uh-huh. But that's what happens when you go to San Diego. I think that was like the best place he could have gone, just because it's not a team that just gets a lot of national attention all the time. And he really we've heard nothing much about him since he joined the team, and that might be a good thing, because we'd probably be hearing more about him if he was not playing all that well.
No, and it's been good for him, and he's getting some help on the inside where they drafted Denzel Perryman, 48th overall from the U, All-American, All-ACC pick. And really after that, they stayed on the defensive side. They got a cornerback, Craig Mager, Kyle Emanuel, an outside linebacker from North Dakota State in the fifth round. And in their final pick in the draft, they took Darius Filon, 272-pound defensive lineman from the University of Arkansas. So defense, it was pretty much defense in the draft other than Melvin Gordon, who I think is going to be counted on to be a centerpiece of this team. They traded up to get him, and I think he gives that game breaker that they haven't had. Ryan Matthews had some solid seasons, and I know fantasy people like to just completely thrash on Ryan Matthews, but he did have a couple solid years there for the team. And even last year, before he was hurt, was averaging 4.5 yards per carry. Back in 2013, ran for 1,255 yards, 4.4, and back in 2011, 1,091 yards, 4.9 yards per carry. But they haven't had that home run hitter, that game breaker, who really could take it to the next level like Melvin Gordon
right.
can.
And as a many-year fantasy owner of Ryan Matthews, I can say the frustration with him stemmed from the injuries, I think, was what was the big thing with him. It's just you couldn't keep him on the field for an entire season. So if Gordon's able to stay healthy all season, that's an upgrade at that position. And potentially, can Gordon do more in your mind than in terms of catching passes out of the backfield? I think that's a potential area where they can grow as an offense, and he can kind of take on that role and maybe establish himself as one of the better running backs, kind of the multi-purpose running back.
Yeah, that's the thing he's been working on the most in the offseason are his hands, if you want to show that he could catch ball in the backfield. I think Melvin Gordon's going to be an excellent NFL back.
Yeah, it was one of those picks where you're like, this makes sense, and this is like one of those ones where he goes to a team and you can see him doing really well. I just think, you know, if you can get – it seems like the last few years, San Diego – Rivers just hasn't had that consistent kind of number one type receiver. If they can get – Keenan Allen to kind of build off what he's already done and then get really
the problem is Keenan Allen's built to be a number two. That's what he is. He's your right. smooth possession, very nice routes, very good hands. That's what he is. He's not your big game breaking speed wise number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
So when Vincent Jackson left, he took that with him.
Yeah. And I think they're still missing that.
Absolutely.
That offense. And I think that's something that might hold them back from maybe that, crossing that 9-7 threshold and becoming a team that can win 10 or 11 games or even 12 games in a season. It's just like, to me, and this is a very unscientific way of looking at it, the Chargers are always a team that win games that you never expect them to win, and then they always have those few games every year that they lose where you're just like, your mind is blown on why they just lost that game, and it just never makes any sense. And those are the games that I think have kept them from making the playoffs and getting Rivers in a situation where he can win a few playoffs.
Well, listen, you'd have to think from a San Diego Chargers perspective, at home against the Cleveland Browns, that's one that they're going to feel like they should win. But this is a Browns team that I think can actually get after them physically. I think you can be physical with this team and have an opportunity to go out there and steal one. And that's obviously what you want. That's what the Browns want. When you look at this team, the depth chart, the strength of this team is going to be on the left side of the line, much like the Browns on the left side of the line with Dunlop and Franklin, as we talked about. They're pretty average everywhere else. DJ Fluker is not quite panned out to the level that they wanted. Now, one move that we didn't talk about that they made, I think, is going to be a good one. I think they're going to play Steve Johnson in the slot quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Eddie Royal's gone. They've got Stevie Johnson there. And I think Stevie Johnson is going to be a nice addition to that team.
Yeah, he was kind of just off the radar a little bit last season. I remember he was a player you touted a lot during a free agency just because what
he's solid.
He untapped. I guess he wasn't really used
right
much in his position last season. So it was a good cheap signing for them to make, and it'll be interesting. I mean, he was capable with Buffalo, was he not, of being a number one wide receiver on a team for a little bit, maybe a team that lacked
4,000 yard seasons.
So I don't know. I just wonder where this team can really get better to the point of where they're exceeding what they've been doing. That's
they needed to improve their defensive line, and I don't think they did that in their draft. They got better, at linebacker when you bring in Perryman, but you already had Donald Butler and you got Monty Teo. So their defensive line was where they were weak. Their secondary is good. Verrett, Flowers, Eric Weddle, they're solid in their secondary. But I think the Browns are going to be able to be physical with this team and come out and run the football on them. And that's what that's the formula for Browns success. And it actually makes a good matchup for the Browns in that sense in this game. So hopefully that is one where the Browns can get in there, come through, run the football, control the clock. This isn't like when they went and they had to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was a team that was built to stop the run. This is going to be a San Diego Chargers team that in many ways struggles to stop the run, and hopefully that's where the Browns can take advantage, because that's going to be the only way. You got to control the clock in this game, and you've got to keep Phillip Rivers off of the field.
And this will be an interesting one in terms of how it maybe gets attention nationally, because as we've talked about, the Browns' schedule sets up for the team to be in very good shape going into this game, and potentially if you do what you're supposed to do and win those first three games, I mean, this game suddenly gets very interesting with what happens after, because then the schedule, this is kind of the turning point of the schedule, and where it starts to get really, really difficult.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the Chargers last year, as I said, give 124 yards per game on the ground, seventh most in the NFL, 4.5 yards per carry, fourth most in the NFL. So they gave up the same number of yards per carry as the Browns. The Browns just obviously saw a lot of carries, 500 against, because they were trailing in many games. 31 rushing attempts against per game, second only to the Titans, who were rushed on 32 times per game. But that's the weakness of this defense, and I don't think it was addressed like you probably would have wanted it to be if you were a San Diego Chargers fan. So that's the thing. Phillip Rivers, you can see one of the better quarterbacks in the game, a gritty guy. Matt Wilhelm, can't say enough good things about him. But they're weak on the front, and our offensive line is going to have to come out, and you're going to have to feed the crow, feed Terrence West, and run the football and try to steal one in beautiful San Diego. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines and, of course, some of your tweets. And we've got some tweets coming in, 216-578-0850. And, of course, tweet at Nathan Zagura, at Andrew_Gribble, and at Browns_Daily. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.